D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. A reminder that Silly Underdog Picks is coming up in the next segment to entice you to call and be the people's pick, or the people's picker. I don't know what you want to call it. The prize this week for Silly Underdog Picks is a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar.
Oh my goodness.
At Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th. So if you want to, if you want those tickets, be listening for the cue to call at the end of the next segment as we do Silly Underdog Picks. But before
it
we get there,
it will be a battlefield.
It will be a battlefield. I hear love is also a battlefield.
Yes, it is.
And let's welcome in our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton in Withrow. Hutton, we're talking about Vanderbilt's upcoming matchup with Alabama. Last I checked, the line on ESPN is Alabama minus 10.5.
Okay.
I would love your read on this game and if you think Vanderbilt will cover against Alabama on Saturday.
Do I think they'll cover? Adam, I've picked Vanderbilt to win this game.
Okay.
Already.
Let me hear why.
Pavia. I'm done doubting this dude, man. Look, they're fourth in yards per play right now offensively in the NCAA, 15th in first down yards per play per first down. That's the key to their offense. Only offense in college football with 18 or more rushing touchdowns. They have 14 or more passing touchdowns. So they're the only offense that done both. And Pavia last year was consistent. He didn't turn the football over. He was able to keep every defensive player for Alabama on their toes, on their heels. And I think he's done nothing but improve. I'm done doubting him. And I'm also rooting for the storyline here, guys, because I think, correct me if you guys disagree, let me know. I think locally, regionally, this feels like a big game. Nationally, I'm not sure if anybody realizes what could happen if Vanderbilt goes on the road and wins. They'll be the first bowl-eligible team in college football, and they'll be on the doorstep of a college football playoff. I mean, that 9-3 Vandy with the win over Bama would have a great case against 10-2 Notre Dame. Like, again, I'm looking far in advance here, but they have that, and Pavia would be the front runner for the Heisman. It's an exceptional story for a program that 2 years ago had Clark Lee on the hot seat.
Now, Hutton, I'm looking over at my co-host, Willie Donick, as you
go
say
ahead, Willie,
all of these things, lavishing praise on Vanderbilt, and I think I see hives breaking out on his skin.
Yeah.
Coach Willie.
Hey.
I got to know, Coach Willie, how you're feeling about what Hutton is saying.
I don't think
Willie, can I go ahead and answer for you this?
Yeah, go ahead.
They beat Bama last year, and then what did they do the week after all the national hype? They went on the road and won at Kentucky, which is not an easy game for them. Kentucky's one of those teams like Arkansas that's going to get theirs at some point along the year. I just like the mental makeup of this team. They are consistent. They don't do anything flashy. They just are consistent. And this is the same Bama as last year. The one that can throw down the 1-800 ass whip, but can also throw the helmet across the field in frustration. That 1 week they're one version, the next week they're the other. They're very, very good. But Vanderbilt's very good, and I don't think they're going into Tuscaloosa thinking they're just trying to cover the spread.
Hutton, you said the secret word, ass. So let's talk about Cam Ward.
Oh, he was looking forward to this.
Hey, How about J-Rob's post?
We shared that on the air.
Oh.
It's turned into a hashtag. Hashtag we ass, as John Robinson wishes his wife a happy birthday. I'm sure she loves that. But,
well done.
But let me ask you about those comments, because
yes,
there has been a chorus of mostly, I would say, former players, including the gentleman sitting to my right, who said that they wish Cam Ward hadn't used that description to describe how the Tennessee Titans are playing. Not only did Derek say it, we played a clip from Shannon Sharp saying it. Warren Moon has done a couple of radio interviews this week. Of course, he gave Cam Ward his number. He said he wishes Cam Ward would have used a different choice of words. My thought on it is we should be praising Cam Ward for having this take on the Titans. It's sort of refreshing to hear this honesty about this team that is 9-36 in its past 45 games.
I mean, he's faced 51 plays of 3rd-and-8 or longer. I mean, this dude is he's set up to fail, honestly. I mean, in this offense, Will Levis had better numbers through his first four starts than Cam Ward. That's saying something. I'd be frustrated too. And there is when he said this on Sunday, you know, it's not like it was like right at 10 minutes after the game. You know, this was a good chunk of time after. He's been taking his time getting to the podium, which to each their own, whatever. That's his right. But he's still frustrated about it. He did it in front of a ton of family members and friends. And look, I mean, he's worked his butt off to get to where he is, only to really not have any. I mean, I don't feel any optimism. I don't feel any sign of light at the end of the tunnel here. And he's the only one I think that's being real about it, if we're being honest about that. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is saying the right things and trying to be the vocal leader post game. I mean, he's playing great, but he's on the trade block. The difference between he and Cam Ward is Jeffrey Simmons probably playing for a different team in week 10. So Cam Ward's here for the long haul, and I'd be frustrated too, given the fact that they were, you know, held without a point after changing play callers.
No, I get what you're saying, Hutt, about his frustration. My thing is, and will always be, especially when it comes to the quarterback,
yeah,
is that you can be frustrated, but you're not allowed to say what you want to say.
Sure.
It's basically the higher you are as far as your responsibility, you are in a position where you have to watch what you say for anybody, whether it's the president, CEO, whoever. When you are in a position of authority, you have to be very careful on what you say, because like it has become, it's become a meme now. ASS has become a meme now.
I know.
And that's not from a guy that has been in a locker room, and I'm sure he will learn. I'm sure he will not make that mistake again. Because the one guy that must, under any condition, I've seen it for 15 years, whether it be Steve McNair, Joe Flacco, it didn't matter.
Right.
Is that the quarterback of all people, he must hold his composure, even over a head coach. Why? Head coach is not the face of the organization. The quarterback is.
Well, Mace, so let's just use your two examples. Uh-huh. And again, yeah, you've been in these locker rooms, man. Eddie George would have been the face when Steve got there, right?
Yeah. Early on, yes.
And Ray Lewis was the face of the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You were the leader. I mean, you're the number one receiver there, mm-hmm, in Baltimore. Who's that guy for Cam Ward?
You're right. He doesn't have that guy.
He's playing every role right now. They don't have a leader.
You're right. And they have guys that can be, but on a losing team, it's like, getting ready to leave, get out the door anyway. The only person that could be a leader is Jeffrey Simmons, but he's halfway in and halfway out, not because of his choosing, but because it's like, what is the organization going to do? Are they going to keep him because he's playing so well, or are they going to trade him come the trade deadline? So he's going to be a leader as much as he possibly can, but also realizing, man, I may be gone in 3 to 4 weeks here because of what we're doing. So my whole thing with Cam is knowing that, you have to be careful at what you say, because what you say has the potential of bringing down or help bringing down the franchise. Don't want to be that guy that gives people logs to put in a fire.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from on this. But he's also seen a very conservative game plan, mm-hmm, you know, settling for 50-yard field goals, 40 chip shot field goals for that matter. This is a team that he wasn't here for all of this, but of the last 17 games, they've been outscored by 207 points. That includes two wins. So their losses have been on average by 14 points. I mean, this is going nowhere fast. I mean, I don't think he's going to be the reason this franchise bottoms out. I mean, I think they're there. And I think we just caught him in a real moment there where, I mean, here's the truth. His jersey right now at the pro shop would be number one selling, right? Like, it's Cam Ward. Number two, the second, the top seller, and then number two on that list would be hashtag WeAss if you sold t-shirts in the pro shop.
Right, I get it, yeah.
You know, like that's where this organization is. There is no one else. And I think, you know, he showed up holding Calvin Ridley accountable. And Ridley was doing that for him. Now there's really no one that's producing to do that for him. I mean, it's a bad spot, and we're in week five. You know, like it's and he also knows he's likely going to have an interim coach. He's going into a new coach in year two. I mean, that's the writing's on the wall with this, and we're not even through at the time, not even through September.
Now with this, you basically said it, that more than likely there will be a coaching change. Do you think?
Yeah.
Because we talked about this extensively yesterday. Do you think? I understand. Hey, listen. If you don't get the job done, you got to release them. That's just the way it is.
Right.
But do you think it's better for them to let it all play out? But as it's playing out, you're making your list of people that you want to interview and get everything and get all your ducks in a row. So when this season is over, come Black Monday, you're gone and we are zeroed in on our next head coaching candidate. Or should they fire him as soon as possible?
I mean, Mace, this is an organization and an owner that fired John Robinson in December at 7-5. Mike Mularkey had a winning record and he was fired. Mike Vrabel did what he did as a head coach with all kinds of different players on his game day roster. Things didn't work out for him. Like, if that's not acceptable, this can't be. And that's just bottom line of this. Like, this is worse than Wisenhunt.
Oh, you think?
And what's that?
I say, you think?
Yeah. I mean, but I'm saying, like, the only difference between the two is Callahan's a nice guy.
You know, the difference is also is that Wisenhunt, I think, alienated that building from everybody.
Yes. Well, Wisenhunt didn't know.
Yeah.
There was a time where he's walking down the hallway and he didn't know that one of the minority owners had just walked by him. He wanted to know what that dude was doing in the hallway. Like, you couldn't look the dude in the eye. It was a weird, weird way to approach things by him. You know, that's the opposite of Brian Callahan. I mean, we've said it a million times. He's a great guy, great human being. But I mean, I don't know. I think it sends. You mentioned how the tone and the example that Cam Ward is showing at the podium. I think it sends a terrible message throughout the organization if you just let this thing play out and you don't speak on it. You don't speak on a trade. Mm-hmm. You know, like they need to. I mean, don't fire him in September, whatever. But I mean, there's no way to just run this thing out and go 0-17. I mean, that would be. To me, you have to show that there's a heartbeat and a pulse somewhere within the organization.
Shoot,
right now,
if I'm 10-0, I ain't trying to look for a pulse or a heartbeat. Hey, let's just ride this thing out. You stay as the head coach, and we'll get the number one pick.
Well, but I mean, I mean, I understand they have a new stadium and ticket sales are supposedly going great. I mean, anywhere you turn, I mean, again, the hashtag we ass would be selling by Titans fans would wear the shirt. That's how bad it is right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to do something that shows that this is not something you stand for. And right now, we don't even know who's coaching the quarterback, who's calling plays, or who's the general manager. It's a mess.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Hutt, I got two for you. You mentioned before, you said Jeffrey Simmons on the trading block. How long before you think we'll see the Adam Schefters, et cetera, start putting that out there? Because honestly, I haven't seen as much as I thought I might with that. You know how that works. Usually it starts making the rounds and those guys start saying, the Titans have put him on the block. Do you think general managers around the league believe that he's on the block right now?
Yes, absolutely. So in regards to recent trades, the Titans were the ones calling around. I think in this case, they'll be getting phone calls. Right. Like that, you call up and it may be a little too early right now because I think the other teams, Willie, are probably still trying to figure out who they are and what they need at the deadline. The deadline's November 4th, I believe. So we're right around a month up until then. So I think, you know, next week is probably the time when phone calls initially start to be made and you get a sense for whether or not a team's interested in what the price tag might be. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not taking anything less than the first round pick for him.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the best offer, is a second round pick, I'm sticking with Jeffrey Simmons, and you know, his production alone is something that if I'm the GM, I would want on the team. I also realize where the team is and what a first round pick would mean for Mike Borgonzi, but I don't think the value is there for a second round pick in exchange for Jeffrey Simmons. No. And I would draw a hard line on that. But a first round pick, yes, that's in the best interest of the organization. You know, Simmons, I don't know his mindset on whether or not he wants to be here going through this. I said at the time, and I'll stand by it, that, you know, everyone was jumping on the Titans for not re-signing Derrick Henry. Who's to say Derrick Henry would have re-signed to do this? Dude wanted to go compete for a championship. This was not the place to do it. You can run the football here, but you're not going to do a lot of winning anytime soon, not until 2027 when the dome opens. So Willie, I mean, if I'm an alpha like Simmons, I want to go somewhere and win, mm-hmm. you know, and he's playing like that. He's one of the few that's having an exceptional year to start. He's playing like he's in a contract year. I love players that are like that, and that's going to pique the interest of teams. And, you know, there are some teams that are true Super Bowl contenders that will want to part ways with a pick in order to have his production in January. I would too, because he's a difference maker in the right defense. I'm thinking, you know, if Baltimore turns things around, Buffalo in the interior of that defensive front, there are plenty of AFC teams that would like that, and certainly NFC as well. But you get where I'm going here. If you're going to have a low first round pick, I'd like to have Jeffrey Simmons on my roster in January, getting after the quarterback and stopping the run.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
To the commish of silly underdogs, Willie Donick, if Vanderbilt remains on the board, will you please make an honorary selection for me?
That will be very interesting to see if any of our contestants.
We'll
if
say.
It remains on the board.
We if shall see.
I predict somebody is going to take the Commodores.
Okay.
Somebody will do it.
Well,
D-Mace is very silent right now.
I got the last pick. So.
Derek has the last pick this week.
This week, so
we'll
I got
see
the
if Hal
pick,
Gill
yes.
takes it off the we'll top. See. We'll see. But if not, it's yours.
I'll be listening. Thank you, guys.
615-737-1025. You heard the man. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We will get to that next. 615-737-1025. DVD is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate right now at BAXHomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. It's that time of the week. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks, presented by our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Without further ado, I hand things over to the commissioner, Willie Donick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Silly Underdog Picks 2025. Presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, a 31st season of competition, and it continues to roll on. We have had a fantastic year so far. Unfortunately, we had no winners last week. I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm going to recap them here in a moment. I had a request. I'm not going to name the member of the panel who requested a quick recap, because nobody was even close to a win. But let's introduce our panel. Live, once again, somewhere in the Nashville area, is the big man, Hal Gill, Skillsy, the rookie in the competition. Hal, where are you today?
I'm outside doing a little bit of painting.
Oh. Painting?
You know, just something I picked up, you know.
Are you painting talking about, are we talking about like, you, yeah, yeah, a portrait or something?
Is this an easel?
It's... Who am I kidding? I'm painting brick.
I'm
painting bricks out in the backyard. You know, it's the way I played. I never made an art piece of art in my life. I just, you know, try to clean things up a little bit.
I'm just imagining Hal as Bob Ross, you know, painting landscapes.
I wish I could make a happy little tree for you, but I'm not on that level.
Okay.
I'm not on that level.
And to no surprise, Chris Sanders is not here.
Yeah.
The 518 rule still not taking hold over on West End or Harding Road. on the campus of Montgomery Bell.
So, but if I were Chris Andrews, I wouldn't want to show my face in this competition since he's 0-5, I want to say.
We'll get to that momentarily. As you request, here is your recap for week number 5 of the competition. Derek Mason coming off of a big, big back-to-back victory combo that has vaulted him into the lead in the competition. He tried to make it 3 in a row, and he selected West Virginia, a 12.5-point dog, playing at home against the Utah Utes.
Yeah.
West Virginia was coming off a big win.
One good.
They were down 28-0 at the half.
They got beat, 48-14?
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't good. Mountaineers, West Virginia Mountaineers, yeah. Okay.
Will you be considering the Mountaineers again anytime soon?
If they change their whole team, I would. But right now, no.
can they get a new team the next week?
Yeah.
It seems like you can.
West Virginia some years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Let's now go to Hal Gill, the painter. He selected the color orange. So I don't know if he's painting the brick orange right now, but probably not based on how Syracuse did. A 5.5-point home dog against the Duke Blue Devils up in the place once known as the Carrier Dome. And Hal, you had a voice in your head that told you to pick Syracuse. There were a lot of voices in your head, but that one prevailed. Syracuse fell 38-3. And it wasn't very close. Yeah. To Duke.
The other voice was Virginia. And why didn't I listen to that voice?
Oh, well.
The committee have a meeting about that, I believe, Saturday night after the Syracuse loss.
That's a tough one. But this week I got a lock, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's keep that in your back pocket because you will be picking first here momentarily. Adam Vingan was going for a fourth consecutive win. He was on a roll. He went with the Golden Knights of UCF with Scott Frost back at the helm. A 6-point dog on the road at Kansas State, a somewhat competitive game. But K-State holds serve and wins going away 34-20.
Well, at least it wasn't 38-3 or whatever the score
was. Or 48-14.
Right.
So yes. Somewhat competitive.
Right.
You didn't cover, not that that matters.
I'll take somewhat competitive.
Somewhat competitive is about the best I can do.
Can't win them all.
And just for those of you that are not familiar with our competition, there are no points for a cover. You get the points if your underdog wins outright. That is silly underdog picks. That brings us to Chris Sanders. He selected, as usual, a big underdog. In this case, it would be Liberty, a 16.5-point dog on the road at ODU, Old Dominion.
Beautiful, scenic Norfolk, Virginia.
And the Monarchs jumped out and won 21-7, so no winners this week. So after 5 weeks of the competition, it is still D-Mace in the lead with 25.5 points. Adam Vingan in second place with 3 wins and 18 points. Skillsy not far behind at 17.5. And then Chris Sanders, 0.
Zero.
David James, have we heard anything from Chris Sanders today?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, keep it rolling.
He texted on the text chain and asked if he was in the lead.
He knows the rules. He knows the rules. He's got the third pick this week, so he's got a little bit of time.
Okay. So let's hope that Chris right now is with his committee and preparing his pick. The order of selection this week will be Hal Gill, followed then by Adam Vingan, Chris Sanders in the 3-hole, and D-Mace batting cleanup. So let's start the picks for week 6 with Hal Gill.
Oh, baby. I got to tell you guys, this didn't take long. Can we cut the music? Because I want to get this pick in. I've been excited.
Okay.
The second last week was done, I knew my pick. And I want to see it, and I can't wait to see it. And I know Nashville wants to see it. I got to take Vandy and going into Tuscaloosa and singing. What's the song, Willie? Sing that song. Sing that song.
Conquer and
prevail.
You're not
allowed to do that. As the commissioner, you can't do that. I want Pavia singing the song after the game in Tuscaloosa. That's what I'm looking for.
Vanderbilt is...
Vandy over Bama.
Okay.
There it is.
Vanderbilt is a 10.5-point underdog at number 10, Alabama. And we know that one is the featured game. It's game day. It's the 2:30 p.m. game on ABC. The entire nation will see it. Let's see if the number 16 Commodores can pull it off. We were wondering how quickly Vanderbilt will go off the board. For the record, nobody took Vanderbilt at against Alabama last year for the upset. Chris Sanders had them beating Virginia Tech for a big one. And then the following week, Adam, you picked them to beat Kentucky and got a win.
I did.
But now Hal is going to ride the wave and see if he can get him at Bama.
Okay.
So there was no committee meeting on this one. It sounds like it was unanimous. That's where Hal was going. Now let's get to Adam Vingan.
Automatic.
I don't know about that. We'll see. Adam Vingan with pick number 2.
Okay. So I am not going with an ACC team, but I am going with a former ACC team. This is an interesting line to me. The Washington Huskies, who lost last week to the Ohio State Buckeyes, are traveling across the country from the Pacific Northwest to College Park, Maryland, to take on the Terrapins. And Washington is a 6.5-point favorite on the road. I think this is interesting. So I will take the Maryland Terrapins at home to defeat the Washington Huskies.
Maryland is 4-0 and a 6.5-point home dog against the Washington Huskies, who played fairly well hosting Ohio State, who is a powerhouse, no question about it. And Washington, deep in the first half, still had the lead in that game. They were hanging in there. But as the game wore on, Ohio State just a little too tough. But I'm with you. When the long travel games, we've mentioned this before on the show, it's been well documented that in the Big Ten with this big travel, teams who have made the big travel have not fared well. So the Terps were really good for D-Mace a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see how they do for Mr. Vingan.
We do have Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders is
just
here.
Just in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time.
Hey, you busters. What are y'all doing?
Okay, so Chris, are you prepared, or are you in scramble mode here? Are you ready to make this pick?
No, I'm good. I got my notes right in my pocket.
Hit the music, David.
Oh, God.
We have to do this right. We have to have Lionel.
We're always looking for you because you don't show up on time.
I got practice.
We moved this competition for you, but I'm glad
you're
here.
Buddy.
Go ahead, buddy.
The forever type Chris Sanders. Chris, I have one question for you before you make
sure.
Have any of your Big Red players at Montgomery Bell Academy, have they ever sang this song to you in honor of you? Do they know about Lionel Richie?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. We sing it after practice.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. No,
but you need to teach them. You need to teach them about Lionel Richie. Show them some wisdom.
Can I say this? All my kids are white.
They don't know nothing about Lionel Richie. They still got to know Lionel Richie.
Come on.
They still got to know Lionel Richie. Come on,
he's
man.
He's got a broad audience.
Well, exactly.
And I'm saying that to be funny.
It's like, they didn't have Lionel in their record.
But you can't go, stash. Hello.
Expand their horizons.
Man, exactly. You got to help them.
Expand the horizons.
You got to help them, man.
Yeah.
Now, D-Max, you know I can't sing, man. Do you want me to sing for real?
No.
Okay.
Do I got to make my pick now?
Yes.
Yes. What do you think you're on here for?
Oh, I thought y'all didn't love it, brother. That's all.
Besides, yeah, we love you, but you need to pick.
Okay, here we go. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm doing this just to spite D-Max.
Don't do it.
Michigan State.
Don't do it. Oh my goodness.
Beating Nebraska.
Ah, man.
Come on, State. Is doggone Spartans.
I see 11.5 on this game, Willie.
I wasn't gonna pick that game.
Oh yes.
Man, why did
why?
That's actually, you know what? That's actually like a sensible pick For example? Well, no, because usually he's picking like 25-point underdog.
I want him to lose, but he picked my team.
Okay,
so
okay.
You have to root for
Chris.
I almost went
damn,
with Oklahoma,
Arizona. Damn!
I'm seeing a meme right here when you have to root for your opponent.
No, yeah.
He picks your alma mater.
D-Max, would you teach me to fight song when I win?
No, definitely not.
The Spartans of Michigan State are an 11.5-point dog on the road at Nebraska. Nebraska at 3-1 on the season. Michigan State also 3-1. A 3 o'clock game on Fox Sports 1. Speaking of D-Mace, he has the final pick of week 6.
Hit it. Nope. Me and Post Malone. That's it. Me and Post Malone. All right. I was going to go with one game, but I think that game would have really peeved Adam off. The North Carolina and Clemson game. I was going to go North Carolina. I should do that and North Carolina win. Ooh, it would just make
Why
him
don't
mad
you just
over there.
Burn your pick right now?
So, with that being said, I am going with, I just had it, well, Virginia versus Louisville.
Okay.
I think that's
Is it Louisville or Louisville?
Louisville. It's not Louisville. Louisville. It's Louisville. Yeah, I think it was a 6.5-point spread.
That's
if I'm
what
not
I have. Kidding. Yeah, Brent Musburger back in the day for the NCAA, we'd always say Louisville.
Yeah, it's not Louisville. It's Louisville. Yeah. Louisville. Louisville.
But Virginia coming off an upset against Florida State?
Yes.
Uh-oh. And despite the upset,
I'm surprised
still,
nobody looked at that game. Like,
did anybody have that on the radar?
I considered it, yes. Okay. Right. I considered it.
I was hoping, like, whew, please don't let anybody pick this game.
Virginia has now crept into the top 25. They are 24th. They are 4-1, and despite that, they are a 6.5-point dog at 4-0 Louisville. It used to be Papa John Stadium, nice and easy to say. Now it is L&N Federal Credit Union Stadium.
Federal
Credit Union Stadium.
Well, man, didn't Papa
just
John
rolls off the tongue?
Didn't Papa John get canceled?
I think
Papa John.
I don't know.
They did have some issues. Yeah. Papa
didn't
John.
Papa John have some issues?
Look it up, Chris.
Google it.
Google
Goes
it.
Like the Indiana coach yeah. says. Google me. You don't know who I am? Google me. All right, let's recap the picks for week number 6. They are down in ink. They are laid out and ready to roll. Hal Gill, right now in third place. Still in contention, selects the Vanderbilt Commodores, a 10.5-point dog on the road at Alabama. It's the featured game on ABC, 2:30 p.m., a pair of ranked teams, maybe the biggest spotlight game that Vanderbilt football has ever played, arguably. Let's see how they do in the glare of the spotlight as Bama comes off their big, big game and win at Georgia last week. Adam, selecting in second place, goes with Maryland. The Terps, the Terrapins, a 6.5-point home dog against the Washington Huskies, who travel 3 time zones over after their loss to number 1 Ohio State last week. The forever Titan, Chris Sanders, fresh off the practice field at NBA, selects to try to dig at his former teammate Derek Mason, Derek Mason's own Michigan State Spartans. An 11.5-point dog on the road in the cornfields of Lincoln, Nebraska. The Huskers will be hosting the Sparties. And then finally, and by the way, D-Mace, did you play a college game against Nebraska?
We got beat down. Both times.
Good memories of that?
No. No. I had a broken wrist in one of the games.
Ooh.
Yeah, huh? Broke my wrist after we played Purdue first game of the season, and they purposely, like literally, they purposely tried to take me. I was catching a punt. He purposely speared me.
Wow. This was the Tommy Frazier powerhouse Nebraska team,
this was
right?
The year after. Because we played.
So it was Scott Frost.
Yeah, we played that year, my freshman year. No, my junior or sophomore year, and got blew out at Michigan State with Lawrence Phillips.
Lawrence Phillips.
And ooh, then we went back and played him there, and it wasn't no better, really.
That was the heyday of Nebraska.
Yeah,
right
they
there.
Have. Whew.
So let's hope the era is different
some
here. Some
corn-fed brothers in Nebraska, boy, they were. Those boys was huge, man. Goodness, they were huge.
And finally, D-Base selects Virginia. The Cavaliers coming off the unbelievable victory. High drama Friday night against Florida State. Have you ever seen a crowd get from just beyond the end zone into the field of play
I was worried about the kid.
I thought five guys had been buried 10 feet under the ground.
I was worried about the kid that broke up the – like he was laying on the ground and the crowd just ran.
I think if you have TiVo and you run back the replay of all the antics of some of the fans, you're going to incriminate several Virginia students there. There were some one-gun salutes. There were some phones out there. There were some there were some things that were not great conduct becoming of the Cavaliers. But Virginia takes their act on the road, a 6.5-point dog at undefeated Louisville. Remember old Tom Jackson back in the day from
Louisville.
So the picks are in the books for week 6. Silly underdogs. Card laid is a card played. The people will pick next.
It's your turn.
On the other side.
It's your turn.
So, gentlemen, as always, good luck.
Derek, before I give a number, you say your thing, and then I'll say my thing.
Hey, fellas, I love all of y'all. Hal, keep painting. I want to see that brick when it's done painting. But outside of that, I hope all of y'all lose.
Well, not Chris, because that means Michigan State loses.
Ooh, I hate you. I hate you, Chris. I hate you. Damn.
Chris has laid a trap for Derek Mason, but now it is your turn to represent the people. The first caller at 615-737-1025 will represent the people. And if you pick correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, November 7th. Call now, 615-737-1025. We'll get that pick and wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Preds Insiders featuring Willie Donick and yours truly coming up right after DVD. But before we get there, we need someone to represent the people. And who better than our friend Hair Metal Henry on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Henry, your selection, please.
Well, Adam, can I have a minute to defend Chris Sanders' honor?
I'll give you 20 seconds.
Okay.
He really just doesn't like Chris having any kind of... Adam is trying to shut down Chris at all angles. I'll give you 20 seconds.
Go ahead, Henry.
Okay. I'm gonna take Wake Forest against Virginia Tech, but there was a great movie called Any Which Way You Can with Clint Eastwood as a bare knuckle fighter, and as he's winning the fight against Jack Wilson, the mafia boss told Chola and the Black or his boys to kill Philo Beto, to which Chola, the leader of the Black Widows, told his boys to stop it, and he said, "But Chola, we hate Philo Beto," and he said, "Boys, war is war, but business is business. I bet everything against Philo, so that's why you bet against your alma mater." give me Wake Forest -6.5.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. And that was a game that I considered. Mm-hmm. If the Maryland game had been taken by Hal, I would have taken the game.
I considered
that
the Maryland
took.
Game in Washington. I was like, ooh. That
so good
tough.
Luck to our friend Hair Metal Henry. If he wins, he will receive a pair of tickets to see Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar. Neither of whom perform hair metal.
No, they can rock it a little bit, but it does not. It would not be hair metal,
no,
for sure.
It would not be hair metal.
Rock and roll, for sure. Wake Forest, the gutsy move to go for two instead of kick for overtime, and they missed it after leading for most of the game against Georgia Tech. And then Virginia Tech had a nice win with their new coach, and I forgot who they had to replace Pry, the guy that was coaching when Vanderbilt beat them. And then they got subsequently whipped by Old Dominion. Virginia Tech has won a couple since then. They're 2-3, so curious to see how that one goes. That's a good game.
Willie, I know you are jonesing for an MLB postseason score update. So
you know it.
Give it to us.
Okay, two games in the books. The Cleveland Guardians were able to even their series against the Tigers. Tigers won 2-1 yesterday. Today's game was 1-1 in the bottom of the eighth, and Cleveland, an offensively challenged team to say the least, came up with five, a couple of big bombs to break it open, a three-run shot by Bo Naylor blew it open, and that series is tied at 1. San Diego also even their series, and this was today at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Tight game yesterday. Cubs won it. San Diego was able to take the lead. Manny Machado hit a big home run, and then their great deep bullpen did it all and shut the Cubs down. So rubber match in both of those series tomorrow. Later on tonight, the Reds, who got whipped by the Dodgers last night, had to go all the way out to L.A. Dodgers looked really good last night. That game's later on tonight. And the game going on right now, Red Sox and Yankees tied at 2 in the bottom of the third. Yankees have 2-1 and 1 out. Yankees must win to force the game 3. Trevor Story just tied the game in the top of the third with a 2-run single for the Sox. But Yankees are threatening again.
I have a trivia question for all of you. So today, the Cleveland Browns made a quarterback change.
Yes, they did.
Shocker. Dylan Gabriel in. I'm sorry, Derek. Joe Flacco out.
Yeah.
When Dylan Gabriel starts this weekend for the Cleveland Browns, he will be the blank different starting quarterback the Browns have used since returning to the NFL in 1999.
This would be the 1999, so we're talking 25, 26 years.
Yep.
I think it's the 76,237.
So 26 quarterbacks at least. I would say since then, I would say 40.
Willie, venture a guess.
So 40 would be just less than 2 per year. There were some years where I know they had 3.
But it could have went back to the same guy.
There were some years they only had 1. Yeah, some they could have. I will say 44.
Derek is closest. Price is Right rules. Dylan Gabriel will become the 41st different quarterback.
So we're both in the ballpark.
The Browns have started since returning to the NFL in 1999, the most in the league during that span. The next closest team, the Chicago Bears, with 30 starting quarterbacks, and the Washington Commanders with 29.
Wow.
So Tim Couch.
And you know why those teams.
Ty Detmer.
And
Kelly Holcomb.
And this is just since Baker Mayfield last played for the Cleveland Browns, the starting quarterback since Baker Mayfield left Cleveland. Case Keenum, Jacoby Brissett, P.J. Walker, Jeff Driscoll, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Bailey Zappi, Joe Flacco, and Dylan Gabriel.
Bailey Zappi? I didn't realize he was there.
So I guess it could be worse, Titans fans.
Yeah, it could be. You can have 10 quarterbacks.
41
and not have one
different starting quarterbacks since returning to the NFL.
And
25
it may change
years
again.
Ago.
It may change again.
Well, I guess Shador Sanders went full on mime today. He was heavily criticized by Rex Ryan on Get Up for something.
Okay.
Did you hear this?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Rex went full burn down the house. Said, you know, he was immature. Just all of this stuff sitting in front. All of these things that Rex said about an individual that is not even playing. It's not. The last we saw of Shador Sanders in preseason, he had a good preseason. Then that last preseason game, he didn't have a so good outing. I mean, the guys he were playing with, all those guys are going to be cut anyway. So he didn't have a good outing. But to eviscerate him the way that Rex did, it was like you got a personal vendetta toward him. Like, what's going on? Like, seriously, what's going on, dude?
I think I have found part of it. He said, quote, this was on Get Up. Something's missing with this kid. This kid talks and he runs his mouth. Like he said, I can be a starting quarterback with his arms crossed like this. He said, get your ass in the front row and study and do all that. If I know, the whole league knows. Quit being an embarrassment that way.
That right there. What do you have personal against this kid? What do you have personal against his family? Like, are you in the meeting rooms? Are there people telling you that he's not in the front row? That he's sitting in the back or something? Because I would tend to believe that he's a rookie guy. He's going to be in the front row. That's just mandatory. Rookies sit in the front row. Like, that's what you do. Whether you're a rookie or whether you are a first pick in the draft or the last pick in the draft. Usually, they sit up front.
So I guess he was asked questions after practice today, and he mouthed silent answers.
Yeah, because no matter what Shador says, people are going to find fault in anything. Mm-hmm. So he might as well just not they're the ones that are asking him these questions. He's not going up to reporters and say, hey, I want to tell y'all a little something about what's going on. They're coming to him. And he's just, what is he supposed to say? Oh, I'm not good enough to play in this league, and I never will be. I want a guy that says, yes, I think I'm good enough to play in this league. He didn't say anything disparaging about his teammates or anything else. Rex, stop that crap, man. Seriously.
That's your former coach.
Exactly. Stop that, man. Like, what do you have personally against this kid? Like, seriously.
That's a good question.
Like, because I've never seen anybody just go at a kid, a rookie, like this. And he ain't even a starter.
We'll have to leave this for another day. But that'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock as we continue our preview of Vanderbilt, Alabama, as well as the Titans matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. Mitch Light will join us at 3:40. But until then, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Preds Insiders with Willie and I, or Willie and me, is coming up next.
Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear this song. Don't you ever forget about us, because we will be back tomorrow, Thursday, at 3 o'clock. Peace.